Welcome to INS, the International News Service, your source for the most important weird news from across the globe. With news analyst Kevin Harrison, actor, comedian, and musician Mike Wiebe, and professional commentator Brian Camp. INS, the news you need.
Yeah, so it's got probably several hundred thousand million dollars in coins, quarters, dimes, nickels.
How many nickels would that be?
Pennies.
As a security measure, does it have a pre-recorded line from Chuck Heston? If somebody were to tamper with your...
What line would it be? I'm confused.
It says, "Get your damn dirty paws off of my apes coins."
That's the line. I
mean, those words are all in that line, pretty much.
Well, that's the way it was written. Heston ruined it with improv.
Yeah, get your goddamn dirty paws off my cold dead ape guns. Well, I wonder if when he said, you pry it out of my cold, dead hands, if he did a version for Planet of the Apes, where when you pry my gun out of my cold, dead feet. Because apes could technically shoot the guns with their feet.
But he wasn't an ape.
Wasn't he, though?
There are any number of shotgun suicides that also operated a weapon with their feet. Not that far removed.
No, he was a man. That was the whole plot was that he was a man stuck in an ape world.
But when he came back in time, he was an ape.
he turns into an ape.
Yeah, and then he finds out it was all a dream.
That's not any. No. Hmm?
Yeah, you just didn't. Mm-hmm. You have to stay through the credits.
Yeah.
In 1968,
you find out that he's the Statue of Liberty.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. The first time I saw it, I shit myself.
the twisted scientific mind of Dr. Zaius turned him into the Statue of Liberty.
Fucking Zaius.
I only know Zaius because of the Simpsons song.
The Simpsons song?
How does it sound go?
Dr. Zaius.
Yeah.
Dr. Zaius.
Falco's.
Dr. Zaius.
Amadeus.
Edie Falco.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's prolific.
Yeah. Well, how the fuck are y'all doing?
Fair to Midland?
Odessa?
Odessa.
Midland, Odessa.
Oh. Those are the real
That's
twin
the real
cities.
Thing. It's like, how are you doing? People go, fair to Midland, Odessa, Permian.
Really getting started off right tonight, guys.
And it means that you're talking about some Friday Night Light.
Are you ready for some football?
For the international listener, in Texas, we have two cities way far out west in the middle of nowhere, Midland, Odessa. Midland, the more rich, well-to-do city. Odessa, the more hard-scrabble city next door.
Well, how are they going to be able to differentiate?
And they're ready for some football.
No, at all times. At all times.
Oh, for the international listener, when Mike says football, he does not mean your kind of football, which we call soccer.
I mean football.
They know. They know that.
I mean throwing the old pig skin around.
When they switched from soccer to football just to make us mad, it was so ridiculous.
Well, it was the last gasp of the Revolutionary War.
Right. Right.
Against who?
Europe. We kicked them all out.
Whoa.
And they're like, technically you won, right? Yep. Right, okay. Technically, right, you won, okay? But the one thing that we gonna keep just to F with you, just the one thing keep to F with you is we gonna call what you call soccer, we gonna call it footy or football. Just so it's confusing when you like to go, oh, visit Big Bend or listen to the Beatles. Obviously, we are coming off of the coronation of King Charles.
Right. Well, that was like 2.5 weeks ago.
They must feel good to finally have a ruler in place to finally
now they're not rudderless anymore. Now they know
who will protect them from the Gauls and the Goths.
Mm-hmm. The Gauls, the Goths.
Now, American listeners may be confused because we do not have royalty over here.
Oh, okay.
We have no king. We have no queen. Unless you count, one king we had was a Mr. Elvis Presley. Now, what did he have in common with the King of England? Why? He wore gaudy clothes with lots of jewels. Mm. He also, both kings stole from black and brown people. And much like their king, our king, Elvis Presley, also fucked his own cousin.
I think that was Jerry Lee Lewis.
Same person, Kevin.
They took turns. They took turns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. Are you saying Jerry Lee Lewis was the cousin?
I'm saying that there was a lot of cousin fucking going on in the that area.
Yeah.
Are you sure that wasn't one of Elvis's two twin brothers, the triplets, Presley
Aaron,
triplets?
Yes. Elvis Aaron Presley.
Elvis Aaron.
Mm-hmm. There was Elvis Aaron Presley and Elvis Elrond Presley. And Elvis Elrond Presley was half Elvin.
Ooh. Never quite fit in. People, they acted like he did, but he never was going to rise to a true seat of power. I think that's...
Elvis played the, acoustic guitar, and Elvis Elrond Presley, he played the lute.
Uh-huh. It has to be a lute.
It has to be a lute.
But strangely, the electric lute.
Yeah. And he was famous for having the dance moves of Dwarven Mead. He'd get drunk on Dwarven Mead and stomp around in a very dwarven way that at the time was considered quite unseemly.
Yeah, a little risque. A little risque. They'd go on golf cart races slamming Dwarven Mead all over Nashville. That's where he lived.
Nashlickville,
yes.
Welcome to the International News Service. We're your hosts. I'm Kevin Harrison, along with...
I'm Brian Camp.
Hey, who's that? Over there.
Nobody.
Yeah.
A void.
A void that used to be called Mark Ryan.
The darkest spot on the screen. It just sucks in all the light around it. We don't know what's there.
It's like Vanta Black.
Hey, whatever. That was in the news for a while. Everybody was kind of obsessed by the blackest of blacks. And then it just... I guess it was phony.
Well, I put all that money in Vanta Black socks. And then it turned out that Vanta Black is highly radioactive.
Ooh.
And I lost a lot. I lost a lot of money.
You're a little taller.
And I can see in the dark. Much like Elvis Elrond Presley, I can see in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's only taken us 121 episodes to get a Vanta Black reference. I think we've made them all, guys.
Every time I hear Vanta Black, I think of Fanta Black, and I think it's some sort of delicious black licorice soda.
Oh, that would be
delicious.
So good.
Wouldn't it
black
be good?
Licorice soda, yeah.
No.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Me and my granny would sit around and drink it.
It's so good. I would love it.
What is it about old people and black licorice that it's like, you kids want to taste what death tastes like? Because I eat it every day.
I think it's what they use to, because, old people be having sex, right?
Okay.
You guys know that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that that's what they taste like when they're kissing each other.
You guys, black licorice is good. You have just been duped by Big Candy.
No, we haven't.
Mm. Yep. The best thing about liking black licorice is...
You can have all you want.
Yep. When everybody has jelly beans, I don't want the black jelly beans. They're so good. You just collect them.
Uh-huh.
And then you keep your other jelly beans too. Then you like might trade an orange for three black jelly beans.
Yeah.
I think you get ripped off.
No, they're good.
I would always say with black jelly beans, just take them back to where they came from and I would shove them up my butt.
That's you're making the most terrible of jokes, Mike, and I'm glad.
Oh no,
I'm glad you didn't. That was
no.
A split second, I thought, oh no,
I'm good.
Here comes the real Mike.
I've been editing the podcast.
Okay.
So I'm pretty lazy. And
that's right.
We're gonna do that.
I was about to say you must sound less racist these days than you have consistently up until.
I don't. I don't see color, and I don't see racism, and I don't even, I don't even see words or thoughts. That's how not racist I am.
Just blank slate.
It just sounds like you're blind or you can't read.
I don't even know what I'm, who's talking or who I'm talking to. That's how open-minded I am.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. I know. I know.
So this week, we have a news story, an especially phallic bonus story for our Patreon listeners. And Mike has a news story for us and get to know your podcast.
Hey, Kevin, what's the subject matter of the bonus story?
It is especially phallic, Brian.
Should you call it a boner story?
Bam.
This story is one big boner. I can tell you that right now, ladies.
I missed the mark there, but.
So our first story comes to us from NPR.
Oh, National Pubic Radio.
And this story was submitted by
National Public Radio. State sponsored content.
State sponsored content comes from NPR.
Zing after zing after zing.
And Elon said it, and I agree with it.
And it was submitted by friend of the podcast, Greg McLennan.
We should get Greg on the podcast.
Okay, friend of the podcast and future podcast guest, Greg McLennan.
Bold statement. Do you think maybe we should check with Mr. McLennan before we make such a... Oh.
He's on the podcast. Greg,
he's on it.
You're on the show.
Okay.
Yep.
I think this is, I don't know Greg, but I think this is going to be a mistake.
I don't know him either. In fact, I disagree with his stance on Michael Bay, which we may get into when he's a guest.
No.
You know what? Since it's a movie opinion, I think I probably like Greg and agree with him.
I actually agree with Greg about Michael Bay, especially when it comes to the film Pain and Gain, which
well,
I think is.
I've heard that was pretty
Michael,
good.
Michael Bay's Goodfellas.
But right after I heard his. Oh, this is all going to get cut out. Whatever. Right after he gave his position on that, I watched
again,
that.
I'm editing, so.
I watched that Michael Bay movie that he made for Netflix that is the worst god-awful piece of shit ever put on Netflix.
Schindler's List?
Yes. What is it? Six Underground, I think?
You didn't even agree with the message at all.
Did he make that or did he just produce
it? No, he directed it.
It's not very good.
It is terrible.
I didn't finish it.
Did you watch it? Where did you watch it?
It was direct to Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, well, but did you watch it like in your house?
Yeah.
You got to see it. You got to see it underground.
You got to see.
Well, so I should have read the opening instructions. I feel like a fool now. I apologize to Mr. Bay. Pain and Gain is pretty good.
Okay. I wouldn't mind. I've heard really good things about that. And I will add that I've worked for Michael Bay on a Faith Hill video, and he was perfectly fine to work with. No pluses, but no minuses.
Okay.
I'm sure he sleeps better at night
He's been listening to 121 episodes of the show to see if he'd get my approval. And Michael Bay, you have my approval.
I'm sure it's with a sigh of relief he knows he still has a career.
Right. He's going to adapt our news special to...
That would be pretty fucking good. I know at least
it would be good.
You know, a Jack Wharton kind of tie-in situation.
Like a crossover.
Yeah, that would be pretty.
A little bit.
Pretty fucking cool.
Like maybe this is one of Jack Wharton's aliases, and it's like midway through one of our. As we're breaking down the news of the day, we're really kind of digging deep into the stories as we do.
Yeah.
There's a something occurs that we all somehow get pulled into the Jack Wharton web.
Well, I was thinking there would be like Jack Wharton would be this intrepid podcaster with two, and you'd have two insipid sidekicks and just constantly, they're kind of like the comic relief, you know, but they're like, they're always like bonking each other on the
real
head.
Buffoons, right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of, they're slipping on a lot of stuff.
Okay. So what I hear you say, correct me if I'm wrong, I would be played by George Clooney. And Brian would be played by C-3PO.
You would both be played by James Remar in dual roles.
Wow. talent.
The guy who played Ajax in the Warriors.
Yes, I know. I know. James Remar. So story comes from to us from NPR. That's now, if you remember back to episode 96, when we had Eric Krug on, we talked about body snatchers in 19th century Ohio. But it looks like this problem might still be happening in 2023 in Arkansas. Specifically,
is that the pickled the guy story? Is that the pickled person story?
My distant ancestor whose corpse was stolen from his fresh grave.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, a cremation company in Arkansas cremated the cadavers and leftover remains for an anatomy lab at the University of Arkansas. One day, a woman who picked up the cadavers for the company messaged the administrator of a Facebook group called Oddities that, well, okay, so it's not exactly clear how, but this Facebook group appeared to sell body parts that it claimed were legally purchased from France and were educational items from retired medical remains. She asked the administrator, quote, "Just out of curiosity, would you know anyone in the market for a fully intact, embalmed brain?" She included pictures of two brains and a heart.
Me? I need one.
For the listener, Michael's hand is reaching to the
yeah,
sky.
I just want to...
In shaking excitement over the prospect of having a pickled... Did we talk about pickled pigs? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago. Pickled pigs.
I guess they're kind of...
They're coming back.
Toothy, too. In a big way.
So, the administrator offered her $1,200 and gave her some pointers for shipping organs through the mail to his address in Pennsylvania. Over the next 9 months, she sold the administrator 20 boxes containing an ear, an arm, lungs, livers, kidneys, hands, breasts, penises, fetuses, skin, skulls, and one human head. In exchange, the man paid her nearly $11,000.
Penises and fetuses.
that's your shop on the town square.
It's penises and
next
fetuses.
To the ice cream parlor.
That's pretty good. It's like there's a place in Denton called Fish and Chirps that
yeah, true.
A fish store.
That's the mm-hmm. second mention we've made of that yeah. on the podcast.
But this is the first mm-hmm. mention of the store Penises and Fetuses.
Opened by a retired school mm-hmm. teacher.
Right off of Oak Street.
If you're going to recycled, make just hang a right.
Wouldn't that depend on which direction you were going to recycled?
If you're walking out of recycled, yeah. Hang a right.
Okay.
Yeah, because Denton is a great place to walk. Just take a stroll.
And to buy used books.
Buy used books.
Still one of the best used bookstores I've ever been to.
It is the best bookstore I've ever been into. And I'll say that Penises and Fetuses is the best used body parts store that I've ever been into.
Right. Like if you get all of your weekly shopping done in
yeah,
one show.
I call it, it's a one-stop shop.
you should write that down. That's good.
So it's not clear how, but police in Pennsylvania were tipped off to the scheme and confiscated 3 5-gallon buckets with human organs and human skin, as well as a number of packages that the administrator was shipping from Scranton.
That's funny because also there's a whole section in Penises and Fetuses that is just the tips off.
That's for... That's if you don't have enough money to buy the full part, but you still want to get something before you leave the store. You always got to have something.
See,
for
like,
the
I can't afford anything.
A little souvenir.
And then they go, oh, I can get that because it's just the tip.
Well, they go, thanks for the tip.
Oh.
But it's like a reverse thing. Instead of store owners saying thanks for the tip, it's the customer saying thanks for the tip because they're buying the tip. At Penises and Fetuses. Located downtown Denton, right between the mini mall, recycled books, and Crosswalk Cafe Club off the square. Killer show. Killer
wow, that's obscure.
Killer show.
Riddle Me This playing this weekend.
You know, that's very funny that Riddle Me This came up because...
Riddle Me This.
There's so many things that are leading into our Get to Know Your Pod.
Wow.
Ooh, this is exciting.
Well, let's finish this story. We can get to get to, we can find out.
Penises and fetuses.
Penises.
So, and fetuses. The administrator has been charged with 4 counts of receiving stolen property, intending to participate in unlawful activity, and abusing a corpse. The woman was charged with 12 counts of mail fraud, wire fraud, and interstate transportation of stolen property. And earlier this month, she pleaded not guilty.
Good for her. Isn't this the dictionary definition of a victimless crime?
I mean, people donated their bodies to science to, you know,
they were
for
used
medical...
for science. And then when science was done with them, someone said, hey, this doesn't need to go to the landfill. This doesn't, we don't need to keep adding to our growing trash problem here in the United States. This is a brain or a penis or an arm or a leg or a spleen or a fetus that somebody, there still has use. It's not done being used. I think that somebody, a creative person, finding a useful way to save something from going to the landfill.
But what about people who didn't want
a real American hero?
What about people who wanted their remains, you know, returned to loved ones, for example?
Oh, you should ask them what they think. You should call them and say, hey, are you upset about this?
Well, they would have had to sign something probably that allowed them in life to be sent to the...
We should check with all these people who are very upset that their body parts are being... So,
and they probably got a cut of it. It's like at the down, like this penises,
a cut of it.
Penises and fetuses does this too, right next to the mini mall. It's like the whole thing is put your stuff in the shop there, right? And you have your own little section.
Okay.
And there's a little, when you go up with the price tag, there's a little, it'll have the seller's name. So it's all under one place. The shop takes a big cut of it because nobody has to sit there and sell stuff all day. There's a seller's fee. Everybody makes money. Nobody's a loser. Everybody's a winner.
Right.
It's bargain basement prices on body parts. It's a one-stop shop.
How much of their stock do you think is due directly to sales of Klingon weapons next door?
Oh, it's so for the way for everybody who does not live in Denton, Texas, which is almost every single person who listens to this. There's a mini mall in the Denton Square with a big display window. And in that display window is a barrel full of weapons, mostly swords. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, a Klingon bailiff.
Like Bull Shannon from
Klingon Bull Shannon.
A Klingon bailiff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Rusty from
the People's Court, right?
The People's Court. I mean, penises and fetuses. I'm certain some of those body parts ended up there from some sort of a Klingon, a recreation.
Ascension to manhood.
Maybe this is TMI, but I am circumcised and... As a proud former Dentonite, I was circumcised in Denton, and they used a Klingon bailiff to do the job.
It's surrounded in a ring of torches on a dusky day as the sun goes down, held aloft.
Place me on the which is sort of a ceremonial tray, and then they held aloft the bailiff right as the setting sun shone, you know,
the incessant drumming getting a little louder, a little faster the whole time. Yeah.
And the deed was done, and then they went and they took the fleshy remains next door to penises and fetuses and sold it. And that is what bought me my first car, a Nissan Sentra. The money paid for from that. I mean, obviously, I invested it into several lucrative Doctor Strange comic books. And then I was able to buy that and Garbage Pail Kids. I sold the Garbage Pail Kids. I kept the Doctor Strange books. And I bought myself a 1986 Nissan Sentra that was vaguely gray in color.
Wow.
Gray or blue, I can't really remember.
Was it a Nissan Sentra?
It was a Nissan Sentra, yeah.
All right. I remember you having it, but yeah, I have no idea. How many times did you wreck it?
I wrecked it daily. But the big wreck came in. I was drag racing because at that time in my life, I was just living my life a quarter mile at a time. That was a much younger me. Now I live about a mile and a half at a time, 2 miles at a time.
Century's a hot car. Yep.
It was. I mean, literally, the air conditioning didn't work because I wrecked it and could not afford to pay it.
You know, I think I've told you this before, but the glass truck, that was not your fault. As I look back on that entire incident, that was 100% the glass Thank truck you. Driver's fault.
Thank you. He stopped at a yield.
Yep.
It was wet, fucking wet, that shitty, sticky wet. Of course, I had 19 kids piled in that car, making it extra heavy.
And he did not need to stop. There was no reason to yield. He clearly created an unsafe situation.
Yep.
Probably to get out of work.
That's what I think so,
Classic
too.
Classic glass guy.
Glad we could relitigate your glories of being 16.
You don't know how old he was.
I was 36.
This was just a mere 3 years ago.
Yes.
He was not 36 3 years ago.
I was on my way to work. I was training, actually, at Penises and Fetuses at the time. It was my first job in high school. And because of that, I was super late. And so I had to take some of the broken glass and deliver a little bit extra to just to make ends meet, to pay for the repairs. I had to flay a body part in order to get it out. But fortunately, it grew back.
Well, wait, what body part was that? Oh, you're... Yeah. So our next story is a bonus story.
Bonus.
Wow. Rhythmic. That's...
So if you want to listen to this story...
Well, much like the tantric beats... of the baklava ceremony.
The baklava, yeah.
It's a,
I think that's what it's called.
It's just a food. Like Persian.
Rising
Persian
dessert. Well, no, but you eat that but it's what you eat before the bris.
So if you want to listen to this story, go to our Patreon and subscribe at least the $3 level. That's the Knights of Kevin level, and you get access to this and all of our other bonus stories. We've got quite a few up there now. Like, I don't know. Like,
surely everybody listening is already subscribed, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, surely.
We don't have any listeners who haven't taken advantage of that, of the steal that is. And what sucks, if any haven't, they don't know that we purposely reserve everything that is pretty good for a bonus story. Mostly
this is the
free
junk.
Stuff is garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you paying 11 and fucking 20 bucks for? 11, 30 bucks for what, Netflix? What do you get on that shit?
The price of a cup of coffee a day.
Underground Six?
Yeah.
Six Underground.
You get the worst Michael Bay movie of all time.
It's really
Instead
bad.
Of this, you get romance, intrigue, journalism, cooking tips, all of that.
Oh, Johnny Cash peeing.
Johnny Cash taking a piss.
Was that a bonus story?
Yeah.
Man, we do screw people over. Dude, sorry.
It's fucked up.
Well, I can post pictures there. In fact, this next story, let me tell you a little bit about it. It just might be the most unintentionally naughty thing we've ever covered, and there will be photo evidence. The only reason I didn't do it here is because I'd spend a long time describing a photo, which our Patreon listeners will have access to. As soon as they click the link.
Kevin, can I tell you something?
Yes.
When you say naughty, it sounds gross.
I don't
like it. I wish you wouldn't say it.
Can I give a hint as to what the photo is to our listeners?
No.
I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to supersede you.
Okay.
I'm going to veto your no.
Okay. Let's hear it.
It's a picture of a young Mike Wiebe getting his manhood rights done.
It's not what it is.
Klingon bailiff.
Screaming in rage. There's just a trickle of blood.
So I think it may be time for Get to Know Your Podcast.
Well, on Get to Know Your Podcast, we like to talk about stuff that's near and dear to us, not the broad-minded stuff that we usually talk about that's worldwide. Some things that sometimes we talk about stuff that everybody knows about, like the Denton Mini Mall and penises and fetuses, the store next door, and specific directions in the small college town of Denton, Texas. Uh-huh. But sometimes we talk about things that are a little bit more obscure. And in the wake of the popular hit movie Dungeons and Dragons, which I watched recently on the boob tube and enjoyed quite a bit.
Pretty good, right?
So this isn't the one from the 90s then?
No, but okay. Me and Brian did see that in the theater. I believe.
I think we did.
At the mall, at the Denton Mall, I believe.
The Golden Triangle Mall. Four screens. Go to Hastings, get yourself a UCD, and then go watch a movie.
We also saw Nightmare on Elm Street 4 there on my birthday.
Oh, the Dream Warrior? No, that's not Dream Warriors. That's
the Dream
Master?
Master. And then the next one was the Dream Child.
Okay.
And then they weirdly took a right turn in the series, and it was called The Awake Boys. And they stopped being about... They stopped being about dreams and sleep altogether.
Wow.
There was like the idea like, well, what if we just like, what if everybody was awake for the whole movie? And it didn't do very well.
Yeah, it didn't sound
very good. Then it got back into like sleepy time again. Mm-hmm. Dungeons and Dragons. Let me just say this. We're starting a new series.
Okay.
We're going to be touching on Dungeons and Dragons for a while now. There's too much to cover with Dungeons and Dragons right now. Okay, first of all, Dungeons & Dragons started out as a role-playing game, and it was only played mostly by high school kids that were real alpha and were getting too much pussy.
Yeah, that's what they always said about.
And they needed to just sit down for a little bit and taking a break from pussy, from fucking,
right.
From eating pussy, from eating ass, from getting our asses eaten. Getting our Johnson's jacked.
This is how people who've gotten laid talk. Yeah, go ahead.
From getting our balls cradled, from touching nipples, from having our nipples touched, from hand job.
Oh, I thought you were touching nipples against nipples.
Well, having boobs, having boobs pressed against our butts, from foot jobs. From a German game called kickball.
Is that what we call soccer here?
No. This is a German game.
Oh, I understand now.
Yeah. It involved wearing lederhosen with a split in the crotch. And you would sit there and a woman with high heels would come up and just take a massive kick with her meaty equine leg.
Yep. Until you've been naughty the way Kevin says it.
Yeah, and she'd call you Fraulein. Yep. But Dungeons and Dragons, before I think after played it, it was an American animated television series based on the game. And it was a co-production of Marvel, who you guys might know from The Guardian of the Galaxies.
Wow.
Or Spider-Man or Batman. And it was Marvel in conjunction with Toei Animation, which actually licensed a couple of Marvel properties. They actually did. It's really hard to find, but they did.
They're
on
YouTube,
version.
I think. If they're not, they're at archive.org.
What? You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What was I even going to say? You tell me what you're going to say, and I'll tell you if you're right.
Tomb of Dracula and Frankenstein.
I was talking about Wuthering Heights.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wuthering Heights. Marvel, what made Marvel famous?
Yeah, I thought it was probably Wuthering Heights.
Hey, Wuthering Heights and Bonfire of the Vanities, the comic based on the Don DeLillo book, based on
the movie.
The movie based on the animation. And then they based the animation on the first and on the other animation.
Wow.
So did Marvel, what actually did Marvel own with respect to Dungeons and Dragons?
That is a good question.
I think just well, at the time, Marvel wasn't.
The down years, right? This is the winding down of comic books.
Yeah, they were mostly making Tijuana Bibles, just like crude drawings of German women playing kickball.
Mm-hmm. That's where you got the idea. Yeah.
I think it was just they had a small animation wing and they partnered up with the Choei Animation. But Toei also did make, as Kevin was rudely trying to fucking spearhead in, a Tomb of Dracula movie. They also did a Frankenstein movie, too.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Thank you.
That was based on Marvel Comics, Frankenstein.
Thank you, Mike, along for telling me these things.
Yeah, along with Wuthering Heights and Downfire of the Vanities. An animated version of Dynasty.
Wow.
But in Japan, they called it Big Titty Joan Collins.
I'm glad that we made a reference to the... bonus story that most
worldwide sex symbol Joan Collins.
Yeah, worldwide sex symbol Joan Collins. Yep. She gave a lot of young men a lot of interests and some current men now. So it ran from 1983 to 1985 for three seasons for only 27 episodes, which was a bit of a short run back then. The show is about six friends who were transported into the realm of Dungeons and Dragons. Ooh. Following their adventures as they try to find a way home with the help of their guide, the Dungeon Master, while combating an evil wizard named Venger. So it was these six kids. Uh-huh. I don't know why they were friends. They didn't seem to have anything in common. Maybe they weren't. I don't know. They never really get into their lives too much before their time. Maybe they just happened to get on a roller coaster ride. And it was a Dungeons and Dragons ride. And it's going around and then everything gets wackadoodle and they end up in a real Dungeons and Dragons land. Mm-hmm. And then they end up, there's a little person. Call him Dungeon Master. I don't know why he doesn't have a name and he's never really in a dungeon. And he is a real oblique piece of shit. Who never gives you the right answer, who speaks in rhymes and riddles. He's an annoying shitball. Mm-hmm. And he sort of just gives them mixed messages. And they're trying to get home. And this guy, Venger, who's an evil wizard, really, I don't know why, but he wants to kill him. He doesn't like him. He wants them dead. Oh, because they all get magical weapons. They each get their own magical weapon.
One guy gets a unicorn, right?
No, that unicorn just tags along with him. Okay. Unicorn, also annoying. Very annoying, right?
Me.
First of all, uninspired name with uni. They named the unicorn after what a British person does after high school. Stupid.
Fair.
One character gets a bow and arrow, but there's no bowstring. He just pulls it back, and there's magical electric string with a magical electric arrow that shoots out. Probably the coolest weapon.
The ranger.
Second coolest weapon is, and he's a ranger. Second coolest weapon is the little kid who's kind of the owner of uni. Gets a club that's just, he's like a barbarian, but I guess it's funny because he's a little kid and he's got barbarian clothes and he's got just like a club that's super powerful that can, I don't know, it glows and it can break shit.
That's right.
Then there's a wizard who can pull stuff out of his hat, but he's a complete fucking moron.
Okay.
Yes. He's a dumb idiot. He can't ever get it right. He's never good at doing magic at all, pulling stuff out of his hat.
Yeah.
And then there's a craven coward who has a shield, and the shield is kind of a cool weapon, but you're just kind of like, it like makes a perfect force field around the group when he holds up the shield. But you're always mad at him because he never gets a sword or a flail or a Kayuketsu Shogi.
The cavalier, right?
Yeah. It seems like, okay, you got a cool shield. Why don't you get a bailiff?
Well,
grab a bailiff.
There you go.
Buy a bailiff from the blacksmith.
The Klingon blacksmith.
The Klingon blacksmith. Yeah. I don't know if that IP, but you never know. There's all kinds of cross-dimensional travel. Right. Who can say?
Who publishes Star Trek comics?
DC usually, Marvel has the two.
There you go. Could have happened.
I don't know who does, who has the rights right now. Maybe IDW?
Gene Roddenberry. Gene being short for genius Roddenberry. You guys have seen my Gene Roddenberry back piece, right?
Oh, yeah. Too many times.
Is Gene Rod sitting at an oak desk thinking? And there's a thought bubble. There's a thought bubble that says time anomaly.
It's right. Tachyon particle.
Tachyon particles. So then you got some broad who's an acrobat, uh-huh. And she kind of is dressed like a barbarian. She's got a staff that kind of gets bigger and smaller, not unlike a dildo from the town of Dildo.
Mm-hmm. Well, she is hanging out with a bunch of, she's the only girl hanging out with a bunch of teenage boys, right?
No, there's a second girl who has a cloak that can turn her invisible.
Oh, that's right.
And she's horny. She's horny as hell. I don't know that, but she was, I take it back. She was not horny, but as a child, I was horny for her.
Like the female Bugaloo.
Oh, okay.
She did have female Bugaloo
vibe. Same kind of vibe, okay. Yeah.
A final unproduced episode would have served as both a conclusion to the story and a reimagining of the show had it been picked up for the fourth season. However, it was canceled before the episode was made. The script has since been published online and was performed as an audio drama as a special feature for the BCI Eclipse DVD edition of the series. I'm going to get that shit.
That sounds great.
It sounds pretty good.
Aren't there a couple episodes where they kind of get back home and have to return?
Yeah, there's one where something weird. They left one of the guys or something like that. But so the friends, they're aged between 9 and 15. They're transported on the ride. They meet Dungeon Master. So Dungeons & Dragons is like, it's this property and it's really hot. And they're trying to figure out how to do a thing about it, but also make it accessible to kids. So they kind of hodgepodge this story together. But the thing is, like, Dungeons and Dragons is really like a bit more adult based than that. Ultimately is kind of a problem and undoing of the show, because during the run of it, they kind of run into the backlash of the Satanic Panic, and Dungeons and Dragons starts getting like a real bad name for it because of, what do you call them, weak-minded Christian conservatives. And back to the cartoon.
Yes.
The children are trying to find their way home, and they also get side quests, and their fates become intertwined with others. Uh-huh. And their primary antagonist is Venger. He's this powerful wizard who wishes to rule the realm, and he believes that the power from the children's weapons will help him to do so. The other reoccurring villain is Tiamat, who's a five-headed dragon, and he's the only creature that Venger fears. And it was kind of a fairly clever, for a kid's show,
yeah,
it was nice. There's this bad guy, and then there's this monster that no one can control. It's very episodic, but there's a couple little through lines that sort of built the world out a little bit more. At one point, Dungeon Master calls Venger his son. And then in the unproduced episode, Requiem would have confirmed that Venger is the Dungeon Master's corrupted son, and it would have redeemed Venger and ended on a cliffhanger where the six children could finally return home or deal with an evil that still existed in the realm. Mm. But oftentimes there would be a situation where they would like trick Venger into running into Tiamat, and then he would get freaked out. Did you guys watch this as a kid?
I watched it as a kid. I was a big fan for sure.
Saturday morning. It's a big one. It was kind of the last of the cartoons on Saturday morning before.
Because it was the most adult.
Yeah. Then it was, I think Land of the Lost was on afterwards.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So the voice cast was actually all people that I knew at the time. The main character, Hank the Ranger, was voiced by Willie Ames.
Oh.
Willie Ames, you might know, was Charles in Charge's dim-witted friend Buddy Lenbeck.
Also on Zapped. Didn't he play the exact same character in Zapped? Yeah.
Pretty much the same character, only hornier in Zapped.
Okay.
Now, Willie Ames in real life went on to spend all of his show business money on cocaine and cocaine accessories and ended up just really blowing it, and then ultimately found himself starring in a series of religious-based straight-to-video movies called Bible Man, where he played a superhero who uses the Bible for powers. In fact, I hadn't planned on going too much into Bible Man, but let me give you guys the Bible Man synopsis.
Okay.
So Bible Man is American Christian direct-to-video children's series. The show had three incarnations: the Bible Man Show, the Bible Man Adventure, and Bible Man Power Source. And it was played by Willie Ames from 95 to 2003. And then they did an animated version called Bible Man, the animated series. The plot is Mike B. Peterson is a wealthy man who turns to God and the Bible in his most desperate hour. From then on, he pledges to fight evil with the word of God, disguised in the full armor of God suit. Bible Man fights against enemies using scripture. I know it was a big deal that they would do a lot of like Bible Man, like live touring shows.
Oh, wow.
You know, if you're not looking for adulation from your peers, there's a lot of money to be made rolling around doing entertainment for churches. The right-wing grift is always strong.
Yeah, yeah.
The first three Bible Man suits consisted of purple and yellow color scheme, but during Jesus, our Savior, he built a new suit, which was silver and white. Miles' armor is based on the armor of God, consisting on the waist belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. His weapon is a laser sword called the Sword of Spirit, which is the physical representation of God's word, the Bible, which is a little, I don't know if they read the part about the Bible and not being violent, but...
And there's a lot of violence in the Bible.
Yeah, but the goal was sort of... Not some of the bad guys were Dr. Decepto, Madam Glitz, the Fibbler. You guys remember the Fibbler?
The Fibbler.
He's a green-haired evil clown. He influenced one of the church singing group children to lie. And you got the Gossip Queen. He's a villainous character whose design was widely criticized for sharing many characteristics with the Jewish stereotypes. There's Luxor Spondroth.
What?
There's Ludacris, but it's not a motherfucker named Ludacris. Woo! There's Luci, who's a computer.
Lucy.
Primordius Drool, the wacky protester, Rapscallion Polite Sinister, Professor E. Metrius Snortenscoff. He makes kids disrespect their authorities, and his henchman's name is Stench. I Am Wonderful is a vain woman. The Slacker, Super Pro Game Master the Third, Commandment of Confusion, Chaos, Sultan of Selfishness, the Baroness, the Grand Duchess of Greed, and of course, the Super Pro Game Master 2. Anyhoozle, back to Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
Eric the Cavalier. There's a place in Austin called the Cavalier. And in the rundown, Dungeon Master would, in the opening, would name all the different places. And he would always go, Cavalier and Acrobat. So anytime someone says, we're going to the Cavalier, I have to say, and Acrobat. And no one ever appreciates me or gets it.
We've never gone drinking there because I would have laughed every single time I heard.
You know, the joke is always funnier when you have to explain it. So, you know, we all appreciate that.
No, I don't explain it, but
you explain it to us?
I explain it to you. My point is, like, my genius is wasted upon all these fucking plebs in this town. This town is bullshit, is what I'm trying to say. Fucking Austin's so goddamn stuck up now. It used to be cool.
It was never
Everybody
cool.
used to know about Dungeons and Dragons, the TV show starring Willie Ames and Donnie Most as Eric the Cavalier.
Donnie Most?
Donnie Most. Donnie Most being the redheaded Ralph Mouth from Happy Days. On the surface, Eric's a big mouth comic relief coward, but he does have a heroic core, and he frequently saves his friends from danger with his magical... But he is kind of a shit. You kind of fucking hate him. He's a coward. He's a turncoat. There's a kid I grew up with named Stevie. And I always said, like, Stevie is the fucking Eric of this group. If Stevie had a chance to fucking turn us all in to an evil wizard in order to get, like, whatever, like $8 or whatever, he would fucking do it. And my brothers were still friends with him. And I kept saying, Stevie sucks.
You know who wouldn't?
Stevie is Eric.
You know who wouldn't have turned you in? The Ho House Kid.
I don't remember the Hoe House kid's name, but I just remember he smelled real bad and in a shirt that said, "Here comes trouble." Presto, the magician, and in real life, like, or in his pre Dungeons and Dragons life, Presto was also named Presto. So it was a lucky break that he became a wizard. He was voiced by Adam Rich.
Oh, wow.
Adam Rich being the youngest son on Eight Is Enough.
Yep.
To fill our lives with love. And I remember Adam Rich as a kid always being on Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, wow.
Talking about having a bad drug problem. Because at age 14, he tried smoking marijuana. And at 17, he dropped out of high school. And then he almost died from a Valium overdose in 89. In 91, he was arrested and charged with attempted burglary of a pharmacy. And then in 96, there was a media hoax that he'd been murdered. And the story was published by a San Francisco magazine called Might with Rich's consent. And Dave Eggers included the incident in his memoir, A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius, which I did not, I've always wanted to read that. Anyway, in 2002, he was arrested for driving under the influence, and he was always in drug rehabilitation. I just remember him talking about being on cocaine, and that kind of really scared me on cocaine. He died in...
This year.
2023, this year.
Is this the curse of Dungeons and Dragons?
This is what started. Wow. Also, you know who else was on Eight Is Enough? Willie Ames.
Willie Ames.
Yep.
Tommy. True.
They probably did like blow together, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe it's just the curse of Eight Is Enough. Dick Van Patten killed all those guys.
Well, yeah.
He's the only one still alive.
Rotten in prison.
He was in one episode of Small Wonder, too. So
oh, wow.
Might have been.
That might be a get to know your podcast.
Oh, I'd talk about Vicky the Robot all day long.
Oh, yeah.
The Lawsons, the worst. That kid sucked so much.
Oh, God.
Jamie Lawson.
Fucking Lawson.
Fucking wrote. Just the fact that somebody wrote that character, saw the character portrayed, and said, let's keep doing that. It's just so awful.
Within that world, I just don't understand why Vicky the Robot didn't gain sentience and try to kill him. Mm-hmm. And not try. I mean, anyway. So Adam Rich was Presto. Uni the Unicorn. Uh-huh. Vocal effects by Frank Welker.
Oh, Scooby-Doo, right?
Yeah, this is what Uni sounded like.
Oh! 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 Oh!
Real, like, you really wanted Uni dead pretty quick. Dungeon Master was just such an asshole. He was supposed to... He was so cryptic. And shitty, and nobody ever like got mad at him. Nobody ever like. I was always mad that like you should attack him. Mm-hmm. He is not helping you.
And he's the only one who could get him back home.
True.
I had to pretend to be nice.
If you're a barbarian, even especially a 9-year-old barbarian, you bash that fucker's head in with your magic fucking club. And then Venger, it was the evil guy. He was voiced by the great Peter Cullen.
Oh.
Who did the voice of Optimus Prime?
Yep,
and countless others. A lot of trailer work. There was a shadow demon that would always hang around too. That was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, that's who I was thinking of. He's got like one human arm, but he's got like that guy, right?
He's got no legs. He's got kind of a little tail for legs, and he's just a black shadow with wings that would kind of like hover around and do stuff. The level of violence was controversial for American television at the time. There's this one episode that I remember this very well. There's the Dragon's Graveyard where they realize that the only way they're ever going to get off of the Dungeons and Dragons world, the plane, is if they get rid of Venger once and for all. They concoct this really great plan where they trick him into showing up to this like dragon's graveyard, and it's like a different realm or whatever, and they all plan it out perfectly. Each of them uses their powers to kind of like trap him. They've decided they're going to kill him. Like know that they need to kill him, and they have this whole little discussion about how they need to kill him to get out of there. And then they openly say we should kill him. At one point, the ranger like is about to shoot the bow and kill him moments from murdering this guy. And they're like, well, we can't do that because if we do that, we're as bad as he is or whatever, which I remember being kind of let down. That being said, that's pretty fucking cool for a kid's show to do, you know?
Right.
And that apparently almost got them canceled, and it only ran a couple times. I think it ran twice. Just nobody was watching it enough the first time to get mad about it. Obviously, the furor over Dungeons and Dragons became more and more. They had all these like toys based on Dungeons and Dragons, and some of them even related to the show, but none of them were the main character.
I was going to say, it was a hallmark of that era too, that was the pattern was something would happen. It would be on for a while before anybody noticed kind of what kids were up to. And then there was this, didn't the Smurfs have like this crazy reaction after being on for a few seasons?
Yeah.
And like things were out, but... and they'd been around, you know, all the stuff about skating. It was only after everybody was skating for a long time. And then,
yeah,
like nobody ever got in front of anything. It was always kind of ignore it until somebody decided to notice, and there was kind of a half-hearted.
All the things that they were upset about were in plain sight, and it was only when your Mrs. Hildebrands of the fifth grade were to come out and tell you, you know.
Yeah, that's the two or three episodes ago.
You know, and also just that thing, too, of like the right-wing grift culture that embedded and made a ton of money touring the South, probably the whole country, but
we definitely didn't get as much of it as you guys did.
Okay, yeah, you're probably right. But the church touring circuit of telling you how much danger your precious kids are in from, you know, be they Dungeons and Dragons or satanic cults. And I'm sure the same thing is going on right now, but it's something else. It's like TikTok or, you know, books in the library that have the word menstruation in them or whatever nonsense. Mm-hmm. When at the same time, like these uproars, you know, it's never like the HBO, because that has the 30 for 30 on it, when also they have Euphoria on there, which is like, are you kidding? Like, is there... There's a show that has fucking dongs and teenagers doing blow and butt fucking. And you can't check out, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Anyway, I digress.
Well, and also, I mean, I think part of it too is it was so crazy back then that it's a fair point would be that what we're seeing today, you would assume that all this is right wing. But I'm not so sure that all that back then was all right wing. I mean, I think that the PMRC was
Tipper Gore. Yeah.
And I think that was more part of the no one's noticing until they notice. I think it was everyone was doing this.
Well, I think everybody had 40-hour a week jobs, and they had all this time on their hands to be concerned about their children to the point of like absurdity.
But I guess my point would be that there were 7 channels you could watch. It was not hard for anyone to figure out that there was a cartoon.
Yeah.
The one time of the week that there were cartoons on starring well-known actors as voice actors, as we find out, called Dungeons and Dragons, yet it ran for 3 seasons before anybody decided to be upset by it. It was like when you talk about your mom and you told her the story about, you asked her about Miami Vice, and, you know, she didn't really give a shit at all. She just thought for a second, oh, wait, I need to care about this. You're not allowed to watch this show, right?
As long as I was getting good grades, I could fuck all I wanted. But I wasn't allowed to play Dungeons and Dragons.
That sounds about right. So that wraps up another week of the International News Service. Find us across social media at International News Pod. Email us at internationalnewspod@gmail.com. If your church is looking to book Bible Man, but you can't afford him, why not give INS a chance? Check out the INS merch store at Redbubble and our Patreon, and don't forget to check out our subreddit at r/INSpod. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the International News Service. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. INS, the news you need.
Break.
I don't like this.
Whoa! What's happening? Whoa! Where are we? Look out!
Fear not, Ranger.
barbarian, magician, thief, cavalier, and acrobat. That was Venger, the force of evil. I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
Good for you, Dildo.